We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. We thank you for tuning in. Today, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and it's my privilege to spend the next half hour with you today. We are going to be in Isaiah, the 59th chapter. We're going to be resuming our study of this particular chapter and getting closer by the day to being completed with our study of the book of Isaiah. I do want to let you know that I'm going to be preaching a message this Sunday morning in our series, Jesus the Healer. Last Sunday, I was talking about he heals our blindedness, and that's not just talking about physical blindness. So I want you to know we are believing God for physical healing, and we are going to be touching on some other issues in this study as we look forward to it. And I want to let you know, this last week we had a person that visited the church, and they said, hey, I listened to your program, and I really wish I could get a copy of that. And I just want to let you know that on WMIEFM.com, at the bottom of the page, if you happen to miss a broadcast, you can go to listen on demand, I believe is what it says. You can click on that icon, go into whatever specific date that you may have missed or you really liked, and you can download that right directly to your computer. I know that I have done that as well. And so if you happen to miss a day, check that out and see if that can't be a blessing to you. We do want to let you know that we are in a season of prayer and fasting, January the 28th, 20 meals in 20 days. Some people will be doing that in blocks. Some people will be doing that a meal a day. However you choose, or whatever you choose, to say yes to setting aside for God to be a higher priority in your life, I encourage you to join us as we do that. And it'll be a great adventure. You're not going to be missing out on stuff. You are going to be gaining ground spiritually. Also, just to ask you to be praying for our youth group as they will be traveling over to Tampa this week, this weekend for a youth concert. So we'll pray for safe traveling mercies for them. And then on February the 5th, we've got a special start time for this particular Sunday night service. It will be 6 p.m. on that Sunday night, and we're going to be at halftime of the biggest football game of the year. We're going to be having a chicken wings contest. We're not going to be seeing who can eat the most chicken wings. It is a it's not a eating contest. It is a culinary contest. And so if you would like to bring some of your best wings, now, if you go buy those wings someplace and bring them in, that's not going to cut it. We will enjoy them, but you're not going to be eligible for the prize at that point in time. But if you want to cook your very best wings and bring them in, probably two or three dozen, for the various people that are there, for all of us to get a sample. And then we will be doing a blind taste test on that, a secret ballot, and we will be awarding a prize to the winner. So we are in Isaiah 59. I want to ask you to turn there today. I want to begin reading in verse number 4. We were on the program yesterday talking about iniquity, and it says in verse number 4, no one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. And that's where I'm going to end the reading today. I want to show you a progression of iniquity. I know we talked about that yesterday, that it is crookedness, it's perversity, it's moral distortion, it's deviating from the right path, it's lawlessness. And all of that iniquity brings guilt and it brings punishment. Those are things that God does not want you and I having in our life. He wants us free from guilt and condemnation. And he wants us to know that he loves us. He takes no pleasure in disciplining and correcting us. We believe in corporal correction, as that was what they said when I was in school. We want to make sure that you don't do this again. So that was, I know it's a different day and a different standard now, but that was the standard back in those days. And so I discovered that I didn't want to experience that level of love any more than I necessarily had to. So we want to encourage you today to not fall prey to the temptations of the enemy that are going to lead you to punishment and correction and discipline. So in verse number 2, it says, "But your iniquities have separated you from God." In verse number 3, it says, "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity." So it is something, iniquity is not only something that separates us from God, but it also it creates in us a condition of uncleanness. That's what it is talking about here. "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity." It is something that is, you know, if you had your fingerprints, it would be able to identify you. In some parts of the world, to combat voter fraud, when you go to vote, and I mean, in these countries, you've got to actually physically show up to vote. And when you do, they actually dip your finger in a temporary dye that lasts longer than the voting period does, and it tells everybody that day that you actually voted. It also prevents you from voting multiple times. Iniquity has its way of leaving its mark on our life. You know, one of the reasons that I don't lie is because I'm a lousy liar. That's not a thing that I say with disgrace. It's a badge of honor that I tend to wear because the devil is the father of lies and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So I want to emulate his lifestyle as much as possible. I want to be a person that speaks the truth and speaks the truth in love. But because of that, if I ever have been tempted to tell a lie, I feel as if there is this big neon light that is flashing over me with arrows pointing down to my head, and the marquee is saying, "Lying, lying, lying." And so I don't want to have that be an issue in my life. And so I have found that the easier remedy is to just tell the truth because it shows up in my face. And so, you know, at Christmas time around our house, it's really hard to pull off a surprise on people because everybody tells the truth all the time. And if people start asking too many questions, then you have to go tone deaf to their questions so that you are not telling them things that they aren't ready to hear yet. They need to be surprised on Christmas Day. By the way, I will tell you this, just because someone asks you a question, I've mentioned this on the program before, just because someone asked you a question does not mean that you are obliged to give them an answer. In the military, if you ask a question and the person is not at liberty to disclose that detail, or it is something that they cannot or will not share with you, or you are not entitled to, their response is, I can neither confirm nor deny. And you ask them the opposite question, I can neither confirm nor deny. Now, I know this because I've been in some of these conversations. I can neither confirm nor deny. I can't tell you times. I can't tell you places. I can't tell you any of this sort of things. I can't tell you classified information. You do not have the clearance level or the security level to be apprised of those situations. So rather than lying to you, I will tell you I cannot confirm nor deny. It doesn't say whether the facts are true. It doesn't say if the facts are false. It simply says this: I'm not going to get into that situation with you, because then I put myself in a situation that I'm not supposed to be. So now these people who have their iniquities have separated from God, now their hands are giving evidence that they are unclean, that this perversity, this moral distortion, the deviant path, the lawlessness, and all of that sort of stuff, that their fingerprints on it, there's tangible proof. And it goes on, this progression goes on through the following verses. In verse number 4, it says, no one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. So now it's not only on their hands, it's not only affected their spiritual condition, and now they're unclean and they're separated from God, but now instead of giving birth to life-giving issues, now they're giving birth to even more iniquity. It is becoming a perpetuating issue. And one of the things about sin is it affects your family. It affects your children. You don't want that to be a reality in your life. And you certainly don't want to be perpetuating it. You don't want your DNA mingled into that. You don't want that as part of your legacy. You want want to have a legacy of righteousness. And so this iniquity that was once something that they did, and now it has affected their relationship with God, it's caused them a level of uncleanness, a declaration of uncleanness. Now this iniquity is taking on a life of its own. You see, the devil may ask you for an inch, but he's interested in much more than an inch. He's very strategic in that he is incremental in deceiving and gaining control over issues in your life. Not anything that you are dealing with right now did it suddenly just come on in its full manifestation. We're going to talk a little bit. Iniquity begins to take on a life of its own, and it has to get that life from someplace, and it begins to sap the life from you and I. In verse number 7, it says, their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works, or this is verse number 6, are works of iniquity. And so iniquity may have started out as just something that was pleasurable, but now it is something that you're actually working at. You know, it might have started with a person offering you some illegal drugs, and next thing you know, now that's become your source of income. Now you're working at it and you're having to hide things. I saw a headline last week. I don't know if this I don't think this was drug related, but it's a similar issue. A person had told a lie, and that led to another lie, and then it led to a thing of generating income, and they had created a fraudulent financial system, And they had $20 million that they had stuffed underneath their mattress. They were actually sleeping on that amount of money. It had become work, and they were now not only having to continue to generate the income, but now they're trying to conceal it. They're trying to keep from getting caught. It becomes very laborious. And you don't want to have to work at sin. For the wages of sin is death. If you work, there's a paycheck that is coming along with it. And you don't want the wages of sin, for they are death. Their works are works of iniquity. That's in verse number 6. Verse number 7, their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. And here's where it starts getting really dangerous. It says their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. The Bible talks about the people would lay awake on their bed at night and they would begin to think about these things. You see, every battle that you and I face on a personal level, it begins in our thought life. It begins between our ears. Joyce Meyer has written a great book, and there's a lot of supplemental resources that have been put together with it, and it's called The Battlefield of the Mind. And so I want to encourage you that on a daily basis, you win the battlefield in your mind, that you allow your mind to be renewed in Christ Jesus, that you think on the things that are true, and you think on the things that are noble, and you think on the things that are virtuous, you think on the things that are positive and that are scriptural. You think on those things. You meditate on the Lord. It's not that you empty your mind so that whatever wants to can come flooding in there. You actually fill your mind up. Biblical meditation is not like Middle Eastern meditation or Far Eastern meditation, where you empty yourself and you're not thinking of anything and you just allow whatever comes into your mind full access. No, biblical meditation is you intentionally think on God. You meditate on the Word of God. You think on the Word of God. You say, God, how does this apply to me? How can I grow in this area of my life? And so when your thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, the things that you think on, the things that you focus on, those are going to end up being the controlling factors of your life. So you want to make sure that God is in control of your thought life. If you start thinking about iniquity, I want you to know that it is not going to be long until that it becomes a lifestyle of iniquity. Drop down to verse number 13. Verse number 13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the hearts. Whoops, I think I may have gone too far. No, it's verse 13. Transgressing and lying and departing from our God, speaking oppression and conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Justice is turned back and righteousness stands far off. I am missing something someplace. Oh, it's actually verse 12. And as for our iniquities, we know them. It becomes just a lifestyle of iniquity. Where all you're doing is constantly violating the principles of God. And I just don't know where I wrote that down. I apologize. I will get back on track sooner or later. You don't want it to be a lifestyle of iniquity. I've got down written at verses 12 and 13. So let's get back to where we are, because all of this process, it all has levels of deterioration. It all has consequences. In verses 7 and 8, Isaiah 59, verses 7 and 8, their feet run to evil and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Now look at what happens as a result of that. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. Whenever you and I start thinking about iniquity, it creates an atmosphere of waste. I remember when I was growing up, there was a television commercial that said a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A life is a terrible thing to waste. And with the issues that have been going on in Orlando and the police officer and the sheriff's deputy that were tragically killed this week, we look at that and we think back to the lady that was murdered just a few weeks ago before Christmas. We look at that and say, what a waste, because someone spent their time thinking on iniquity. They were thinking, how am I not going to get caught today? And it's led to just a horrible, horrible situation. And there's devastation and there's destruction that are in their paths. You know, I went out on a boat one time with a guy, and he tried to tell me how to steer the boat while he was working on some fishing lines. And I discovered that steering that boat the way that he wanted me to, without ever having been trained how to do it, was pretty challenging. As you're driving down a road here, you've got a white line on the outside and you've generally got a yellow line on the inside. You have things that help keep you on the path that you were supposed to be. But out there on the open waters where you can't see land, one of the only ways that you can tell whether you are going the direction you're supposed to be going is in the wake that has been left behind you. If you were to look at your life right now, I would ask you, what does that trail behind you indicate? Does it indicate that you have been on the path of righteousness, or does it indicate that you've been on an ungodly path and there is a trail of waste and destruction and devastation behind you? Now, I want to tell you the great news about the path behind you is that with Jesus, that path behind you doesn't have to indicate the path that is going to lay before you. But if you and I are people of wisdom, we will look at the persons, the people that we are dealing with, look at their past, and say, has there been a transformation in their heart? Because if God hasn't come and picked them up off of the path of destruction, the broad path, and placed them on the path of life, the straight and narrow path, then they're going to continue on in that same path of iniquity. So whenever you and I spend our time and focus, our mental energies on iniquity, you can rest assured that there's going to be a waste, there's going to be destruction, and that the way of peace is not going to be known there. There's not going to be any path of peace. It is going to be turmoil. It is going to be anger. It is going to be strife and discord. It is going to be frustration. It is going to be a path of violence, more than likely. It's going to be a path of disappointment and depression. And you and I can change all of that. We can know the path of peace, the way of peace, if we will just allow God to focus our minds on the things that He wants us to think on. There is no justice in their ways. You know, many of the people who claim to want justice actually want anything but justice. They just want to suppress you so that you can be overpowered and that they can instill their own form of justice. So you need to know, how are you thinking about this situation? Because we need to be on the same page. Because if we are not on the same page, then we're going to end up going in two different directions. We need to know the way of peace. There is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. So, If I told you that when you went home this evening and you walked in to greet your family, that it was going to be filled with arguing, strife, slamming doors, screaming at one another. If I told you that that's what you had to look forward to, I doubt many of you would say, you know, that sounds like just a glorious night. I can't wait to experience that. Now, what if I told you that when you got home, you could experience a place where family members edify one another, they pitch in and they help one another, they encourage one another, they laugh, they have a great time together? What if I told you that that was what could await you when you went home tonight? That sounds a lot more desirable, doesn't it? The same would be true if I told you that about your workplace or any other place that you went. You could have one outcome or you could have the other. And I want you to know right now that if we will allow God to fix our thoughts and our eyes upon Jesus, if we will allow him to create in us a heart of gratitude where we are thinking of the blessings of God, that we're thankful for his protection and his provision and his blessings, that as we allow his heart to, or his blessings to fill our heart and focus our thoughts, if everybody in the household does that, if everybody in the church were to do that, whenever we would come together, what a glorious encounter with the King of Kings we would have. I want to encourage you now, begin to form what your demeanor is going to be when you get home tonight by fixing your mind not on the thoughts of iniquity, but thinking on the things that God wants us to think about. Say, Pastor, what could I possibly be thinking on of the next few hours that would make my time tonight a glorious thing? Philippians 4:8, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If your day got off to a crummy start, start thinking about different things. Start thinking about how beautiful your wife is, how handsome and wise your husband is, and the blessings of God, and how adorable your children and grandchildren are, and that you just can't wait to get home and tell them how blessed that you are, that they are in your life. And I'm telling you, you're going to have a wonderful, wonderful night tonight if you'll think on these things right now. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.